welcome back to season, I guess the eighth season of the TV show, American Horror Story. A different season of our show, but who listens to podcasts in order anyways these days? Welcome in, everybody. We're here to discuss, Apocalypse is the name
Apocalypse.
Of the season?
Yeah. I think it is also our eighth season.
Yeah.
I think we finally have caught up. I think we started at like a weird out of order thing, but I think we're finally like on track.
We did 7-6, 1-2-3-4-5, and now it's 8. Yeah, we're finally lined up again. We did it.
We're back on track. Gamers. We did it.
Yes. This is the only reason I've been holding on. No, but
the only thing keeping me going.
And yeah, it's myself, Ty Tuesday, and Liz, Miss Shadow Lovely, and Slow Beef, as always. Hey, team, what's good, etc. We ready to get down to talking about... This is going to be a two-parter right up front, because they do so much setup so fast, and I don't feel comfortable just saying... Imagine Fallout like 10 times.
Right. But having been said, you know.
Preemptively, if anything's confusing, just fall back on remembering Fallout. And if you do, you'll be like most of the way there.
But yeah.
Fallout, 100%. But bad. And also like making a lot of weird pop culture references that are seemingly for nobody most of the time.
Fallout, but like you're like, you know, I could be playing Fallout instead of watching this, you know, like Fallout and constantly reminding you that it's not as good as Fallout. But
yeah, as is such with American Horror Story, this might as well, like, honestly, frankly, it could have just been two separate episodes, because they do a lot of setting up for like two separate plot lines that frankly could have like either like given us more time with that plot line to set it up, and we could have gotten a more interesting setup, or they could have just waited to like do a flashback in the next episode so we understood why other characters are now there. But they did neither of those and crammed them all into the premiere of this season, which was certainly a choice that they made, but it did make for a very busy first episode. I guess let's just jump into it. It starts like, you know how like some shows will like fade in with like a scene where you're like, ooh, I wonder what's going on. Like, I'd love to try and get my bearings so I could kind of get like the vibes. This show doesn't do that. It just immediately hard cuts straight into a shot of somebody getting their hair cut in an extremely aggressive way. In a chair.
Yeah, because, like, usually I feel like when you do the in media res sort of thing, you know what I mean, where you're just like, let's just jump right in. It's usually like, okay, reader, we're going fast, or viewer, like, you're going to have to pick up context. But they kind of do that, but then they explain what's going on anyway. So, you know, that works, American Horror Story.
They, like, kind of create a false context, but the false context they create up front is just, like, it's the normal real world.
Right.
Which, like, you don't have to set up. That's the advantage of using it, is, like, it's cool, I'm here. I know. Because they're like, yeah, imagine if Los Angeles was real. And I'm like, okay.
Gross. That sucks. Like, yeah, like they try to cram as much like exposition as to why these three characters know each other as like fast as humanly possible by having them have like the most haphazard set of interactions within like a 3-minute span. So it starts with who I will for all intents and purposes say is the main character of this scene, not the show, but this scene, which is Coco Vanderbilt, who is just as obnoxious as it sounds, played by Leslie Grossman. She's been in several other seasons. She is frequently cast as like the character that the show insists is not hot for some reason, even though she's an incredibly beautiful woman.
And they have her like play a mean girl a lot of times too.
Like a
they
ditzy have her be mean very girl, rude. But she's like a ditzy like 35-year-old mean girl. She's not like a teenager or anything.
Yeah. Right.
I can't remember really any of her characters' names, but in Cult, she literally was that same character that she is here, basically. Yeah. And then
Winter.
No, that was Billie Lord, who's also here in this scene.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah.
She also will show up in 3 seconds.
She was the neighbor. Right. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yep.
She was the neighbor who was married to the gay guy who was played by Billy Eichner. And she's also married to Billy Eichner in this season. For some reason, I will get to it, but there's also like a lot of weird parallels, and I'm not going to give American Horror Story the credit to say they did this on purpose, but like a lot of the characters are playing like a character they've already played in American Horror Story with like a new name, basically, but like functionally the same character that they've played before. It's very strange. There's quite a few of them in this episode alone. Well,
especially because they love to, like, bring characters back from previous seasons anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So, like,
my only thing that I can think of is, like, those characters from the previous seasons that they played, most of them died, so maybe they couldn't.
That's true.
They wanted that character, but they, like, couldn't bring them back or whatever. I don't know. Coco Vanderbilt, who also has, like, 3 other names that I don't know. It's, like, Coco Van something something Vanderbilt. Is getting her hair cut. It's important that you know she's a billionaire because they say that in the first couple of lines of dialogue. But she's not like, she's not the billionaire. Like, she's like her dad's the billionaire type deal.
Yeah,
she's like a Paris Hilton.
Nepo baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Nepo baby. Yeah.
And she's getting her hair cut by someone who's only listed as Mr. Gallant, and they don't actually say his name in the whole episode. I checked. But that's what he is credited as in the credits. So that's what I have written down. Played by Evan Peters, who is a very gay, very sassy hairstylist to Coco Vanderbilt. Which, first and foremost, let me just say, I would think that someone of this status, because like the whole running bit with these two, spoiler alert, is going to be that she always keeps this guy around because she's like obsessed with her hair looking good, and he has convinced her that he's the only one who can do it. If you're on that level of rapport with a billionaire, you don't cut their hair in a salon.
You come to their home.
You go to their house.
To the hair salon that they have in their fucking house because they're a billionaire and they have a city in their house. Yeah, correct.
They don't go to Great Clips to get you to cut their hair. You are on staff. Like,
sitting down at the Sports Clips and being like, is that fucking Jeff Bezos?
Not getting his hair cut, just getting it polished.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. I just need to, you know, clean it up a little bit, so there's no reason for me to go to a fancy place. Like, all right, Jeff. Yeah.
You see him typing his name on the kiosk, the little check-in kiosk at the front.
You gotta be quick, though. I got a meeting with Gates over at Olive Garden, so.
When you're there, you're family. Exactly. That's how business deals are made.
Yeah, it's legal common ground. No one has advantage at Olive
Garden.
It's like
international waters. Exactly.
Cursed, my usual.
Or like a church in the Highlander.
Yeah. So that's what you need to know about Coco Vanderbilt. She's an annoying Nepo baby billionaire. And Mr. Gallant, allegedly, is his name, is played by Evan Peters, who we all know and love, quote unquote, from every other season of American Horror Story. And he's cutting her hair in a very weird and aggressive way. And they're yapping about how she wants to be an influencer and how her dad being rich doesn't help her be an influencer. And I'm like, it could. I think you're just stupid.
Have you heard of Paris Hilton?
Yeah.
Have you heard of Paris Hilton?
Yeah.
Maybe one of the most famous Nepo babies in all of history because she leveraged it to be an influencer despite having functionally no talents.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is like a proven thing you can do.
Also, it's crazy how much access to things money gets you. You could simply just pay to be at events and stuff and say that they wanted you there.
You can just pay
to be an influencer, it turns out. But she's too dumb to do that, I guess. So in bursts Billie Lord playing Mallory, who's her assistant, to help be an influencer, I guess. I guess that's her deal.
I guess you can get that kind of like sort of agent kind of person in a way, you know, like that producer kind of person.
I had that same thought of when I was watching it. I was like, this character reads like she's supposed to be a manager. like Coco's manager, but like she's clearly not. She's so clearly not. She's just like an out of her depth like 21-year-old who's like the assistant to a billionaire.
Yeah. She plays like an executive assistant, but like for an influencer, like she's also like scheduling things and making posts for her, which is like a lot more than you would have like a just like an assistant do, you know?
Yeah, you'd have a team, I would think.
Intern. Yeah, like gopher intern producer best friend combo, like all of these things.
Yeah.
And she brings up a cold press juice and goes, cold press juice is the new hotness, so we have to make a post with you drinking cold press juice. And I just thought to myself, thank God I'm not on TikTok. But also, she takes a drink of it and goes, oh, that's so bad. I'm going to die. Are you trying to poison me? And I'm like, damn, it's juice, though. like, juice has a pretty reasonable floor. Juice can only be so bad before it's just, you know, like, oh, it's like lightly sweet water. But that's not great.
But influencers are so vapid, you see? Like, she's like, has to pretend she likes something that she hates. She'll endorse anything, these friggin' influencers, you know? Which is
but
like,
it's apple juice.
It's like, that's like what I'm taking away from all this is like, they don't look up, you know, well, how do influencers actually, you know, do this stuff and have assistance and things like that, and they're just like, influencers suck, let's just run with it and make it up as we go, you know? That's the American Horror Story way.
I would love someone to do like an accurate Logan Paul character who sucks in the same ways he does. That would be something else. That isn't bro. Well, because Bro House isn't accurate to the Logan Paul thing, right? Like, at no point in Bro House do they claim they're going to make a cell phone game filled with NFTs and then just shut the whole thing down and take everyone's money. Like, that's not part of Bro House. It would be way better if it was.
I know that he's not technically an influencer, but my mind always goes to the Jeremy Renner app. Like, please, somebody just include, like, a nod to the Jeremy Renner app in their show. Please,
God,
I'm begging.
Jeremy Renner app.
Oh my God, I have some Googling to do after this. Wait a minute.
Oh, it's so good.
It is exactly what you think it is. It is a social media network based entirely around you like Jeremy Renner. And it had no safeguards in place. And I promise I'll be done with this tangent other than the fact that you could just name yourself Jeremy Renner and make your profile picture the same as his and pretend to reply to people as Jeremy Renner.
Wow.
It was so good. It was a bright spot, really, when it came to like the social media age. It was a while ago, too. It was like 5 or 6 years ago.
Wow, I totally missed it.
It's really good.
That's like the first thing you think of. Like, who can't?
Yeah, make sure someone can't pretend to be Jeremy Renner. Yeah.
This whole operation is done if they figure out they can just be Jeremy Renner. Jeez. Wow.
Jeez, and it's the cops. I wish that this show was smart enough to do something like that. But alas, the writers of this show have decided that influencer equals bad, even though influencer is more of a job title than it is like a class of person. They've decided that it is a class of person and that it is only one type of person, and that person is just annoying parentheses general. Also, in case you're wondering, this also isn't relevant because what's about to happen, the influencer thing will not be relevant in exactly 0.5 seconds. Mallory gets told to fuck off because she brought the nasty juice, which I assume is her job based on the context we've seen. I assume that's what she's getting paid to do. So I don't know why she's in trouble for it. But Mallory goes to leave. And Mallory is played by Billy Lord, who played Winter in Colt, in case anybody needs like a point of reference. Mallory goes to leave, and as she gets to the door, she's like, are there Kardashians filming outside? Which is weird because nothing's really happening outside when we see outside. And then a loud alarm blares, like a really loud, like tornado siren starts playing. And everybody simultaneously checks their phone as though their phone is the one that's making that loud ass noise. Yeah.
I think it's supposed to read like a big Amber Alert kind of thing, but it's like really loud for that, where you're kind of like,
The other thing too is there's a like siren that goes off, and as somebody who's done like engineering work with logistics and like safety and stuff, Hey, do either of you know what a nuclear missile is coming in alarm sounds like? Because if not, it's not a really useful siren, huh? It's not really like, if you just hear like, wee woo, you're like, is there like an ambulance? Like, oh, it's a nuke. That's pretty different.
Yeah. Turns out that's a big problem. I have firsthand experience with that because in the city I live in, there are tornado sirens. And they're tested every month, the same time, the same day. And every time they go off, people are still like, oh no, is a bomb coming? That's only problem number one. Problem number two is sometimes they just play the sirens for other stuff. Which kind of makes them like not good.
Like their cat's birthday or like what other stuff?
It was like a little windy and they started going off, and then like the weather service in my area had to be like, there's no tornado, it's just kind of windy. And we're like, well, you shouldn't probably play the siren for that.
Yeah.
Given that they're tornado sirens.
People to the siren.
Isn't that like rule one of a tornado siren? You know?
Is it only like, plays when there's a tornado?
I know, like, only play it with the tornado. It's almost as obvious as don't let your users be Jeremy Renner, you know?
On the Jeremy Renner app, exactly.
Come on!
It's also very strange because the way they overlay it on the show is as though it's playing in the salon. And I'm like, even if it were, say, like an Amber Alert, like, people's phones would, A, be different volumes, and B, like, probably be going off at, like, different, like, intervals, because people have different carriers. They wouldn't all receive the alert at the exact picture perfect, frame perfect, same time. So it wouldn't be like the harmonizing of the angels upon like the horns of the apocalypse all playing at the same time from everyone's pocket in a deafening noise. It would be like a bunch of little noises all making a big ruckus. They don't know how to do sound design in American Horror Story, though, so it doesn't matter. And everyone's like, uh-oh, and they look at their phones, and we get to see somebody's phone. I don't even know whose, but they show us somebody's phone. And there is an alert that says, ballistic missile inbound to Los Angeles, to which I say, what could you get, like, maybe can we get like a zip code, maybe like a little more specific? Like what part of Los
what
Angeles
part of Hiroshima? I want to make sure I'm not fucking there. Okay,
yeah.
That's like really want to be clear that I'm not where the missile is, so I do need to know where the missile is so that I can be where it isn't.
Right.
Yeah. Can I get like some kind of detail, like downtown? Like, do I need to not be downtown? Like, what's going on?
And the writer's studio is in Los Angeles, so they also know the obvious thing, which is, like, Los Angeles is pretty fucking huge, you know what I mean? Where, it kind of does matter, you know? Like, but
that's what I'm saying! Like, in the Metroplex where I live, like, you couldn't just say, like, there's a missile coming to Dallas. It's like, okay, well, like, more towards, like, Fort Worth, or, like, is it, like, the middle? Like, is it downtown? Yeah. Like, am I good if I don't live there? Like, what's the deal? Also, they say ballistic missile, and spoiler alert, what they're talking about is a nuclear bomb, which is different, entirely different than just a ballistic missile. Big difference in what you have to prepare for.
Right. Yeah, because here was my other thing on this is like, okay, if you got a text on your phone that said a nuke is going to land on your house in 30 minutes, what would you do? Like, what am I supposed to do with this information? Like, at best, I'm going to go get stuck in traffic and die.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do if you get a message? Like, be like, I should go buy some beer.
So,
like,
yeah. I'm a child who grew up in the 80s, you know, or I was rather, you know, and nuclear war was like a really big threat and scary, and basically it's like a whole thing I could go into, but like I actually Google where fallout shelters are at new jobs, and I'll tell you exactly what I do. You fucking forget, because you do that because you're like, I should know that information, and 3 months later you're like, oh yeah, didn't I look that up? Oh well. So basically what you're doing with that information is Googling where's the nearest fallout shelter and then dying in the traffic because everybody else did that. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah. So, yeah, exactly. There's nothing you can really do with that info. Actually, there's one thing you can do with duck and cover, which is like a real, this is such a crazy thing. This is a real thing that works if you're not in the initial blast, but that's like, Yeah.
Being inside is surprisingly, like, helpful if you're not in, like, the immediate radius of, like, the explosion. Right. Like, just not going outside is extremely helpful in most cases.
Yeah.
So I feel like the alert's not great because most people are going to immediately go out of wherever they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's one of those things, is like everybody makes fun of duck and cover, which I did too, and South Park does and everything. But it's like, no, because there is actually like a shockwave that's like about 10 or so feet above the ground, I think, or five, I forget. But like, it actually helped. And there's a return wave that comes back. But like, you could make it if you're not in the thing, but just watch your fucking head. That's my little nuclear advice while we're here anyway. Sorry.
Yeah, there will be a lot of this going forward because there will be baffling things. Like my biggest thing is if I get a text message that says big missile inbound, I'm going to be like, do we not have anything for that? Like we don't have any things that we do about it. Like you guys obviously know it's coming. So like you can't do something to stop it.
Yeah, I was hoping Reagan maybe didn't lie about Star Wars and SDI. Oh, fuck, he did. I knew it. Damn it. You know, he did, by the way.
I mean, anyway. The other thing, too, is like they have like an hour from being notified. And like, I know too much about nukes. Here's mine, slow beef. The flight of an intercontinental ballistic missile from Russia to the U.S. is like 30 to 45 minutes, like total, like going up into space, being undetectable in space and coming back down. So like the fact that they're like, oh, yeah, you've got like 75 minutes till this nuke hits. I'm like, did they just like leave it up there? What the fuck?
It got lost.
Yeah, it's like a wrong turn at Albuquerque. Like, what are we doing?
Every POV we're about to see, they're like 40 minutes before the bomb for all of them. So all of these people have 40 minutes to like prepare for it. And I'm like, 40 minutes and the government can't do anything about it? Like, you can't, you know it's coming in 40 minutes. You guys don't have anything to stop it?
That means there was like somebody at like the Russian fucking launch site just taking a selfie with the missiles going up, just like fuck y'all Yankees. Like that's the only way they would know in time.
So I'm hoping in the last 20 years or so, this is James, but like so I was a poli-sci minor and I did individualize in the Cold War and stuff. And one of the challenges of countering a ballistic missile is it's basically like you're trying to hit a bullet with a bullet, you know, where it's like, it's actually really fucking hard to intercept them. And especially to do it in a way where nuclear fallout's not just like falling over some other city or something, you know, or whatever. But that said, you know, that was like 2000 and whatever. So maybe nowadays they got something. I don't know.
I have a feeling it's still very similar. Intercept systems are one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's real. You know what? It's cool that we all say we're working on these. There's a reason we're all still doing deterrence, though.
Yeah.
It's because, like, deterrence is, like, very open and closed.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I guess I was more so hoping that, like, a particularly noble, like, Boeing 747 would maybe, like, take one for the team and fly into it.
Go manually go take it down. Like you want me to like get a baseball bat and
Iron
go on the roof fully coolie style and just like get it back.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping maybe like a particularly brave like helicopter or something would maybe just go take the hit. You know, something.
You
somebody.
Stay, I go.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you have 40 minutes. You have 40 minutes, and some of these people are going to get in a private jet. That means there's other people who could potentially get off the ground in a plane. Like, maybe just go.
Yeah.
Maybe just go fly around up there. See if you can maybe stop it.
This is my penance for impersonating Jeremy Renner. Here we go.
Jeremy Renner can give a touching eulogy for me when I die.
the brutal part is no one would be able to see it or record it, but if I did know I was going to die to a nuke and I could be where the nuke landed, I might go get a baseball bat and try to hit it back. Like, it wouldn't work, but at least I'd go out doing what I love, you know?
Yeah. I hate to be, like, actually factually, but it also, I think they detonate above the ground, too, for the highest yield or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
You can't really dink them
you
back.
You can't really do it, Ty. Sorry.
They know I would.
Oh,
they,
so you're-
already knew better.
You're saying
we can't let it close to the ground, or some dipshit's gonna swing a baseball bat and hit it back.
You're saying I can't like conscript like 25 fourth graders to get one of those really big, colorful sheets that they have in like the gymnasium,
like
and
a
like
parachute?
Yeah, and then
yeah,
like eat it back up into the sky.
Holy!
Get the nuke lost underneath the parachute and fold it up.
What yeah. do you mean he volleyed back the Tsar Bomba? That's not supposed to happen. Like,
Russia would never expect it. Truly. Anyway, that's
so,
they get the text.
Yeah. So
sorry.
They get a text and it says like, yeah, hey, nuke's coming or whatever. Coco says it's a hoax like the Hawaii thing, which yeah, that was fairly recent. It was like 2016 when there was a false alert yeah. on missiles coming to Hawaii. So like, yeah, close enough. You know, horseshoes, hand grenades.
Yeah, sure.
Coco gets a FaceTime from her dad and the rest of her family who are in Hong Kong. He tells her, hey, someone's going to pick you up in a car and then take you to an airport and they're going to fly you away. You should do that. It was supposed to be all of us, but we're here and not going to make it. So it's you in three more spots. Okay, bye-bye, I love you. And then his phone cuts off in what is presumed to be a explosion of some form.
Mm-hmm.
Coco's husband he calls her as well afterwards, as he's like watching the news on the office building, and the news is very very melodramatic. I think it's kind of funny that the newscaster's like, well, guess we're fucked. Kids, if you're watching this, I love you. And it's like, well, okay, man.
This is it.
That's a weird pivot.
And then he's just like, I can't believe we did it. You
yeah,
know?
He's just like, I can't believe we did it. And I'm like, who's we? Like, you? Did you do this? Did you call
the human
for this?
Race destroyed itself.
It's me, Chunk Hunk Nuts, with the CB5 News, and I'm here to tell you I launched the news.
I got the codes, and I accidentally aimed them at Los Angeles, where I live. Oopsies.
I also yeah. feel like, yeah. honestly, the sentiment is kind of like, God damn it, I kind of knew. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I can't believe we actually did it. Like, yeah, I mean, we've had this for a while. It was kind of yeah. a safe bet, truthfully, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, back to the funny podcast.
We will, unfortunately, like, have to sit through this whole newscast twice. They're going to make us watch it with two different sets of characters for some reason. The whole thing, from start to finish, as though we couldn't just be like, oh yeah, I remember that from 5 minutes ago. They make us sit through it twice. Billy Eichner plays Brock, who's Coco's husband, and like, he's very not super like urgent about the news that he's watching. She's like, holy shit, get to the Santa Monica airport, we gotta fucking go. And he's like, but I just booked a 6-part Free Willy series. And she's like, what are you talking about? that's not important. So I guess the implication is that he works at like a television agency or something.
And he's a total moron, because like, he should be having this message too, right? Like, about the bomb and everything. Yeah.
He didn't get the text, I guess. He has, I don't know, like Cricket Wireless, and they didn't give their their customers a text message.
Fucking Spirit Airlines phone.
Yeah.
I didn't get the message on my goddamn jitterbug.
Yeah. And like, the guy on the news says that Hong Kong, Moscow, London, and the Baltics have all been hit already.
Wow. London catching strays. London yeah. is a lot of things, but like, big parts of the nuclear war, not something I really give credit London for, you know?
Yeah. Also, like, I'm like, okay, so like, based on that, the fact that they've already been leveled, those have already been hit, and LA is next, allegedly just LA. And I'm like, really? No other parts of the United States? Just Los Angeles?
Right?
I wouldn't think Los Angeles would even be really like high on the list. Like, movie place isn't like big politically usually. I would think maybe like New York City.
Nuclear sites.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Nuclear sites is what you would go for. Like, it would, that's the thing, is if someone was like seriously bombing America in an attempt to do something of this nature, it would be a bunch of random spots in the middle of the fucking Utah desert,
yeah.
right? Like, that, those would be the actual targets.
Because you're trying to,
but
like,
that's not yeah. interesting TV.
Exactly. But yeah. you're trying to stop the whole like Counter-Strike thing if you can, but for some reason, like, now it's just like, fuck it, everybody dies. Like, they've decided, and like, Hong Kong's there, and London, and yeah, it's just, yep.
Yeah, just Hong Kong. Yeah, it's really strange what they decide. And I guess they just, like, nebulously leave out, like, who might have done it. They don't say it either. They're just like, they've been launched. And I'm like, by who?
I think, I guess they're like, they're not going to take a stand, right? They're just going to be like, it's war.
They're don't like, someone did it. Yeah. And I'm like, realistically, if those places have already been leveled and there's one en route to LA, you can use the time difference to figure out where they're coming from, even if we don't have like a solid guess. It's just weird that they didn't even like make something up. They like they were just like, those are gone. Those cities are gone. Well, they could have been anybody.
It's such a big plot point, right? Is like, who fired the nukes? Where did this happen? Where's it? Like, what they should have done is start us in the shelter and then maybe have flashback scenes later that like give us little bits of the because the problem is they've created an incredible mystery that they have no interest in engaging in.
Right. Like, exactly.
They've made the most. If all of those places have been struck, and that is true, where else has been struck? Where hasn't been struck? Who did it? In what order was it fired? Like, there's so many questions that are so interesting, and they're like, what if we did bad Fallout instead?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and there were influencers. What if Fallout had influencers? Would that be cool and good? Would you like that if there were influencers in Fallout?
Don't give them fucking ideas. Do not give them ideas.
Yeah, and so now we get to meet our next character, quote unquote, and it's some lady named Evie who looks like Liza Minnelli, who's played by Joan Collins, and she's drinking champagne on her couch and complaining that it's burnt to her maid, Esmeralda, and Esmeralda's like, fuck you, the world's ending, goodbye, and she's like, what the? And then like, the character who is allegedly named Mr. Gallant, who is Evan Peters, shows up and is like, Meemaw, we have to go. There's bombs. And so it's, I guess that's his grandma. And he's also a Nepo baby. And her husband was famous, sorry, I guess.
I might generally miss it. Did we mention the part where Coco is taking him because of like her family seats are free now, basically?
I don't think we mentioned it in depth.
Oh, no, yeah, we forget to.
Okay.
But why, they decide... Coco's taking her assistant and hairdresser.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure out. The hairdresser hasn't been established yet. It's just Mallory. Mallory, like, grabbed...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Grabbed Coco and, like, put her in the car. And, like, she's the one who's, like, choosing where they go.
Take my brother's seat, because, like, yeah, like, you know, I can't open a door without you. Which is actually a thing she says. Like, I can't.
This is actually the first that I know the bar is in hell, but this is the first actual, like, interaction between any characters in the show so far that I would say establishes any level of, like, oh, okay, this is, like, a dynamic that makes sense. Of, like, in a cataclysmic event, the only person a billionaire has is their assistant because they don't have any meaningful connections. And so, like, that, and her, like, convincing Mallory to come with her because she needs her. She can't function without her, and Mallory agreeing is, like, the first dynamic where, like, okay, like, There's at least something to build off of here versus just I have to have my hairdresser with me because my hair has to look good. Also, I think it's weird that this is now the second character that Billy Lord has played, that in a cataclysmic event, the white woman she works for begs her to stay with her instead of her family, and she does. I think that that's strange, that that's twice that they've made Billy Lord play that exact character. a very strange parallel that I don't think they meant to do with Winter from the Colt season. But alas, which I think was the season before this. I think Colt was 7, and this is 8?
Yep, it was. Right.
So it's very weird that a lot of the parallels are from directly the season beforehand. But that's why those two are in the car together. Also, we're in the car with them is a driver who is going to go way above his pay grade in roughly 10 minutes.
Way above his pay grade.
But Gallant and Evie are not yet established as being there. First, Gallant shows up at Evie's house and is like, Meemaw, we got to get in the car and get to Santa Monica Airport. And she agrees to do that, I guess. And they get there roughly the same time that Mallory and Coco show up. And Gland and Evie are like, you got to let us on the plane, too. I know you have four spots. And there's first some, like, pushback, like, no, my husband's coming. Like, you got to, you have to, I have to bring him. And then she's like, nobody's going to get here. And then people start to come for the plane, question mark.
This is so funny. So what they say is, yeah, you have, like, who I presumed was supposed to be the pilot, but I guess it's just, like, the, like, driver and caretaker or whatever, and apparently, like,
bodyguard, I
John
guess.
Wick as well.
Yeah.
Like, a bunch of, like, flight crew people. It's not, like, random people walking up. It's, like, the guys who help get your bags onto the plane. Like, they're still wearing the safety vests and shit. And they're just, like, walking over. Like, one of them's in the little luggage cart, which is, like, the least intimidating vehicle to move on. It's like, what are you gonna do? Put me in the back and move me around slowly? Like, what the fuck? So they're all very slowly gallivanting up to the plane, and the driver's like, oh my god, they're coming for the plane. We gotta go. And like, they start piling in. And he shoots, like, four people. Like,
I
fucking
know. The driver pulls out a gun and starts John Wicking random people. And is like, get on the plane. I'm like, did you, like, sign a blood oath to her dad to, like, protect her from birth? What is happening? You're not getting on the plane. Like, what do you mean?
And I've seen this season, but even as I was watching it, I was like, oh, is this how, like, does he get into the shelter? Because, like, that's what you think would happen, right? It's like, hey, I heard there's some extra seats, so I'm going to get one here. But he's just like, no, I'm going to die.
He's doing it for the love of the game. Yeah, he's doing it for the full love of the game.
Why go?
What's your fucking end goal here, buddy? Like,
my only goal in life is to make sure this billionaire influencer gets on her plane and goes to the fallout shelter to make sure that the blast doesn't kill her. I'm willing to kill infinite amount of civilians to make sure this happens.
Right,
look, miss, all I've wanted in life is to commit 5 murders and face no punishment for it, and this is the best chance I'm going to get.
And then die in a nuke, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no jail for me.
Yeah, those people are going to die anyway, I guess, so technically, like, he's just speeding the process up, frankly, I suppose.
Finally,
honestly, it's moral to kill civilians.
Yeah. I can finally live out my favorite video game hatred. Like, oh no, driver.
Okay, don't get on the plane. Yeah, you're not allowed on the plane.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah, based. Like, if I saw, like, my driver whip out a gun and start shooting civilians, I'd be like, you know what? I think you stay here. Yeah, I think you stay on the ground, actually.
Yeah.
We don't want that energy in the fallout shelter. Also, speaking of her husband is, like, on the phone with her as the people are, quote-unquote, coming for the plane, whatever the fuck that means. Because there are, I cannot stress enough, infinite other planes at the airport that they could have been going for. But they chose that one was the one that they wanted, question mark? I have no idea.
A little dinky private jet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of going for any of the other planes, went for the smallest one that was available. And she's on the phone with Brock, who is stuck in traffic, like, kind of close to the airport. And he's like, no, I'm just going to get out and run. Like, I'm coming to you. And she's like, we are divorced now. You're free to see other people. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then she hangs up on him.
And it's that comedy kind of, like, remember how we said, like, we could, like, suspend monogamy and everything for a little bit, you know, if we find someone? He's like, not now, Coco. Well, you know, I release you. And then, yep.
Which also is kind of like their characters in Cult. I don't know. It's weird. It's too on the nose to not be on purpose, but it's also not clever. And it also doesn't make any sense.
I think they just accidentally made the same characters again.
Yeah.
Like, they were just too... Like, especially with Winter, because, like, I wasn't there watching it during the time, but I have to imagine Winter's character was pretty well-liked, considering she was A, you know, fun, and B, like, a nasty little goth, which is, like, always a big hit with people. So I have to imagine Winter did pretty well. So they might have just been like, yeah, let's just do another Winter, but like, you know, not Goth this time. She's an assistant instead.
You might know better, Liz. I just feel like if you held on until season 7, you were a ride or die American Horror Story, and you will take whatever goddamn shit they had for you. But, you know, I don't know.
Better or worse, like, I think that a lot of people, myself included, because I actually watched 8 as it came out, not because I, like, wanted to, but because I was like, well, I have to see what dumb bullshit this is. I gotta
there.
See.
That was me.
I have to see this trash fire. I watched every episode as it aired. I'm like, I have to see what nonsense, bullshit, garbage this ends up being. And it didn't disappoint.
I stopped at a point which we'll talk about later, but I stopped at a certain point. So yeah.
It was just it was a very strange parallel, especially watching it a second time, which I never thought I was going to do. There's so many of these parallels with the season that just came out before this one. I could understand if it was like old seasons, because like you're recycling these actors in new roles. There's bound to be some overlap, but it's weird that these are like direct one-to-ones with the previous season. It's just very strange. And then Brock, who has been hung up with, starts running through Santa Monica, and he gets cut off. This is a very strange scene. He gets cut off by a butcher who is like cleaving a looter who is stealing like 12 steaks for some reason in the back. I don't know what the symbolism is supposed to be here. And I also don't know why that guy's stealing 12 steaks when a nuke's about to hit. I mean, I guess if he has nothing better to do, like he doesn't have time to go 12. Cook those.
The nuke will do it for me, I think. This
true,
will work out, right?
True. But that guy gets killed with a meat cleaver. My thing is, like, I don't know which is dumber. The guy who's stealing 12 steaks or the butcher who's killing the looter when
pursuing him?
Yeah, when a nuke is about to hit them. Like, I don't know which one is dumber.
Like, you gotta get your priorities in order. Yeah.
You ain't taking my steaks. Yeah, and then he watches the plane fly overhead, which the plane that flies overhead of him is huge.
Yeah.
And also strange that it's flying so low. But I guess
they have like a 747 fly overhead, not a tiny little private jet. And he looks up and he even just yells, he's like, "You bitch." And it's like, that wasn't the same plane.
Yeah. He just hates planes.
Like a different plane.
Brock just hates planes. Yeah. Brock just fucking hates planes. Now they're in the air, the people who are on the plane. And Coco's like, "So where are we actually like going?" And Mallory's like, "Good question. I'm gonna go ask the pilot." And then she gets to the cockpit and there isn't one. Which does seem problematic, but it ends up not being an issue for some reason.
It's a self-driving plane, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the thing that we all have.
Autopilot is pretty darn impressive at this point. You still don't want it doing takeoffs or landings.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you still have to land.
The part in the middle where you're mostly just chilling in a straight line and maybe adjusting your altitude a little bit, yeah, autopilot, great stuff for that. You're mostly have a pilot there in case something fucks up, right? Like, that's mostly what they're there for. But like the landing, yeah, that's not the easiest thing in the world. And like, speaking of things that could be unexpected, you know, like what if it got caught in like the EM wave that comes after a fucking nuclear bomb goes off, for example.
Wow, I sure hope that doesn't happen.
And then like as another like little like safety, then like the bomb goes off and they're all staring at it at the window. Don't do that, by the way. Like, you know.
I just want to get the gamma radiation into my eyes as fast as I can. And I want to make sure I'm like watching it happen.
That's how the Hulk was made, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's like, it looks like a second sun, but it'll get you, it'll like fuck with you a lot faster.
Well,
don't just stare at it.
You are supposed to stare at the regular sun. So staring at like the small localized sun feels like you get all the benefits faster. So
right, yeah. When are you going to get a nuclear reaction this up close in front, out in the wild, huh? Well,
yeah. Also, yeah, the thing is, she's like, there's no pilot. And then suddenly the whole plane gets, like, shook around because the nuke hits. And then they all go look out the window. But, like, that's all that happens to the plane. I'm like, so did the plane just get startled or, like, what happened? Because it feels like that was enough of a blast to knock the plane out of the sky.
It's just turbulence. It's fine. You know, like, whatever.
Unrelated to the nuke going off, they hit turbulence also.
Isn't like a big part of why nuclear weapons are so destructive at like relatively close ranges is because they throw off like 500 mile an hour winds, yes, like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. I feel like a plane would notice.
Yeah.
I feel like a plane would be like, oh, and then like go to the ground really fast.
Or even like an EM, right. wouldn't like to a certain extent, wouldn't it mess with like the electronics on the plane?
The electronics?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. You know how they like say your cell phone could theoretically mess with it because it's like really sensitive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do say that.
So a nuke's like way bigger than your cell phone is, well, the thing. Yeah.
I mean, you know, well, the thing is, though, like, look, you could get, you know, a skilled pilot could even maybe land and glide the plane somewhere. Oh, wait, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's no pilot. Yeah.
Maybe Sully's there. Maybe Sully is actually sleeping in the cockpit. Also,
it's Robo Sully. Yeah.
I don't want to be like that guy because this is American Horror Story. And fuck if they give a shit about any of like accuracy of anything. But if they were leaving from Santa Monica, where they're all looking at the blast that's allegedly glassing Los Angeles, wouldn't be where they're looking at Los Angeles. They would have been in a completely different area entirely. But they don't care. American Horror Story doesn't care. They don't give a shit. They think that this plane loved it. They loved being exploded, actually.
The kicker for me with this is they have a whole, oh, there's no pilot, as though it's like a big reveal, which does nothing for anyone and has no impact. Whereas what they could have done, and tell me if this you think is better, they could have had a pilot, and the pilot was very clearly like competent and worked for them and like was good at his job. And then when they arrive at the shelter where they have, you know, kind of senseless acts of violence of just like, look, there's only 15 of us. That's how it's going to be. They could kill the pilot in front of all of them and have it be this big moment of like, oh, fuck, they're serious.
Yeah.
Instead of it being just like, I don't know, two random people we've literally never met getting shot in the head. Just as an example.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it would also, you know, close the plot hole that they opened for themselves of, so how did they land the plane then? If there's no pilot, like the right. No pilot situation seemed to be like a problem when it was discovered, and it just doesn't end up being one. And it's like, well, you could have just not had, like many things in American Horror Story, you could have just not had that. Like, you could have just not shown us a pilot, period. You could have just, like, not shown us that there was a pilot. If that driver was willing to like, John Wick four people, I believe the pilot doesn't care about getting into the thing.
Fly plane.
Yeah, like, he's gonna do it for the love of the game like that guy was doing the driving for the love of the game. Like, I believe you.
It's just a typical American Horror Story. We've needlessly complicated the plot and made it worse, kind of like modus operandi.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, like, it, especially in a season about billionaires and how they really do want to return to slavery and all of that, of just like, yeah, anyone who works for you should be beneath your notice. Like, you could have just had even like a later reveal of like, what do you mean, what pilot? There never was a pilot. Are you stupid?
Like, you could have had like anything else. You could have had Coco have to choose between like the pilot who safely landed the plane and got them to safety and her fucking hairdresser, so we could have seen how vapid Coco was.
Or have the driver be the pilot, where he's like killing people for her and doing all this stuff, and then it's just like, sorry, I need my hairdresser. Yeah, there's like so many things, but.
And that would have been like, I feel like, if nothing else, like, sometimes you want to have like a shitty person to root for, like, not to root for, like, in the sense of like, yeah, I like what that person's doing, of being like, damn, that person's so shitty, I can't wait to see bad stuff happen to them. Like, because now she's just an influencer who, like, is at the behest of what's happening to her, because it's happening to everybody. So, like, you don't really, like, there's not really a person to be like, ooh, I don't like that that person survived. It's like, well, she didn't really, like, take any steps to survive. She was like given an escape raft that was made for her and she took it, so she hasn't really like proactively done anything shitty. Even her leaving her husband behind, like, they quote unquote didn't have a choice, so it's not like she did something to him. He simply did not make it in time, so it still wasn't like her fault that he didn't make it.
She would have brought him, actually.
Yeah,
you know? Like, yeah, so it's not, yeah, there's not really, they try to do it with that whole, like, well, I guess we're broken up, which is like, all right, sure, it's a shitty thing to say, but yeah, you're right, at the end of the day, like, yeah. Yeah. So.
Like, she doesn't, like, they made a character who is inherently very annoying.
Yeah.
But nothing she's done is, like, morally objectionable, yeah. You know, like. It's, again, it's someone who I would roll my eyes at a lot if I had to deal with them when I was working at a McDonald's or something. Right. But not like someone who I'd be like, you should be in prison.
Well, they're not going to take a stand against billionaires like that. You know what I mean? They're just going to be like, mm-hmm. aren't they such pains in the asses, these rich people, you know, and stuff. Yeah. But it's like...
They went as far as to, I would argue, again, like, the bar is in hell. I wouldn't go as far as to say she's, like, supposed to be a morally good character, but, like... She does, in effect, like, offer her assistant salvation. That was her first thought, was to offer her assistant to the ability to live without even thinking about it.
I think they're, like, kind of, like, just prima facie. Is it prima facie? Whatever. It's, like, on its face just saying, like, see, she's too, prima like, ditzy to be, yeah. like, culpable for any of this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. She's innocent, you know?
If
whatever,
they wanted her to be, like, truly unlikable, they could have had her be, like... Oh, well, I don't think that... Oh, they should have had, like, Mallory, like, ask, like, can I go with you? And her be like, ugh, I guess I need somebody to, like, schedule my massages or something. If they really wanted her to be, like, truly unlikable. But, like, they had her offer, which is, like, not what a character that you want to hate would do.
Yeah.
It's just very strange. They did this to her character last time. Her character in Cult was, like, built up to be this super unlikable character because, like, she likes wine and she's in love with a gay man and she likes talking about pop culture stuff and allegedly she's super ugly and unfuckable. And, like, none of those things were really, like, true or negative. And so it's like, well, I don't really, like, want that character to die. She hasn't really, like, done anything wrong. But the show really wants you to believe, like, or they really build her up to be a character that you're supposed to be like, yay, she's dead. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do here. And it's just like, they have not hit the mark yet for this character. It's just more like a, well, what's she going to do? She's going to be annoying for a while, I guess. But everybody in American Horror Story is fucking annoying. Yeah,
a character kind of needs to have agency for you to really wish harm upon them, right? Because, like, if they haven't had control over anything, it's like yelling at a baby.
Yeah.
At that point, like what's the... Like, they haven't done anything. They probably wish they could have done something, but they've had no agency over anything going on around them. Like, yeah, again, her, like, leaving her fiancé husband or whatever was, like, she had to do it. She handled it in a shitty, nasty way instead of being like, I love you, but we have to go.
Right.
But, like, at the same time, she didn't just, like, leave him for no reason. Again, if she had, like, thrown the pilot or whatever under the bus in, you know, her own, in, like, quest of her own vanity, then there would at least be an act she took that sucked. But, yeah, so far, it just truly foisted on her.
Right.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, ultimately over the course of, like, because it's American Horror Story, so you know almost everyone's going to be shitty. There's never, like, a good person to root for in American Horror Story because everybody is shitty in their own way. That, like, you can't even, like, lean on, like, the easy things of, like, oh, well, you can hate her because she's a billionaire. Because, like, she even says in the first 30 seconds of the show, like, it's not her money. It's her dad's money. She can't, like, make her dad not a billionaire. So, like... they take away all of the, like, the gimmies, all the free gimmies they give you for reasons to not like a character. They're like, but we're going to put a caveat on it that makes it, like, not as bad. But the thing that is unforgivable about her, fucking influencer.
Exactly, yeah.
Unforgivable sin of being
this
an influencer.
Bitch hates juice.
Yeah.
Kill her.
Get her ass. Get her
who
ass.
Who are you gonna influence now? They're all dead. Ha ha ha. You know, but
that bit so greatly the green juice part so greatly reads of, like, one of the writers, either, like, Brian Murphy or Fulchick, must have, like, bought a really expensive pressed juice from, like, Erewhon for, like, $18 and it sucked ass. And they're like, this shit sucks. Instagram lied to me. I'm going to write it into my show.
I like this woman on TikTok, and she had the balls to have me drink this juice.
Disgusting. But now it's time to... Oh, the opening sequence plays, by the way. All of that is pre-opening sequence. Now it's time to introduce our B-plot, unfortunately. B of, like, 24 more letters, frankly. But B-plot of this episode. So a big title screen plays that says 40 minutes before the bomb, which, again, astronomical amount of time to know ahead of time that a nuke is coming in. Truly baffling amount of time. A kid we will learn is named Timothy. I say kid, he's probably like 17 or 18. Is like, Mom, where's Dad? It's almost 3 and I want him to be here to find out if I got into UCLA. And she's like, well, we don't have time to wait for your dad, so just open it now. And then he opens it, and he did. Yippee, he got into UCLA. And that's something we're supposed to give a shit about. And then all the alarms go off. We're back at square one, but with a new group of people this time.
I feel like, honestly, this should have been the intro to the season instead of the whole thing with Coco and the plane and all that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is just, like, I feel like it's more, like, a plot line you can kind of at least, like, feel for in a way. Sorry, yeah.
Here's Relatable. The thing I think they'd run into is if they just started with, like, a Leave It to Beaver perfect family getting engaged with a nuke, that feels like...
Mean-spirited.
I think that feels more inherently derivative of other like media, whereas like them doing a big like, oh, it's LA influencers is like as much as American Horror Story has a style. I feel like that is more akin to the American Horror Story like style, like almost to the point of they're doing a pastiche of themselves. But that's a whole nother discussion.
This bit and like the other character he's about to meet, these two like kind of non legacy cast characters, because neither of these characters are played by legacy cast members. I feel like could have all been flashbacks. I feel like we could have just met them at the shelter and then learn their story retroactively instead of showing them one after another, because this feels, like I said, extremely clunky, because we're about to watch the same stuff transpire from a new perspective, but not in like an interesting way, in a like, oh, we're having to watch the same cutscene again, but like with a different character this time. great. Can't wait to watch this cutscene in its entirety again with a new set of
this
characters.
This is not Ender's Game versus Ender's Shadow. This is they literally show you the same footage twice. This is that one case in Ace Attorney where they make you watch a guy play guitar 45 times. It's like that.
Yeah. And I'm talking like they watch the news together and we have to sit through there's only one news channel in LA, evidently.
Right. The same guy saying
the same thing. Yeah. And everyone just so happened to turn on their TVs exactly before this guy started talking. So we have to sit through the whole thing. And you might be thinking, well, do like the characters provide like a commentary or anything? So like we get to at least see a different set of reactions?
No.
We just have to sit through the news again in its entirety, the whole like 90-second bit of it again. But so the dad comes home and they're like, yay, yippee, Timothy got into UCLA. And he's like, shut the fuck up, a nuke's coming. And then he turns the news on and we have to sit through the news again. And they all start to get upset about it and they start to have a reaction to it. And that's immediately interrupted by two Hummers, not Humvees, Hummers, pulling up in their yard and a bunch of people in suits getting out and being like, we're here for Timothy. We're here to take him somewhere safe because his genes are super excellent. We know because he alone put his DNA in an ancestry website, which is a thing every 17-year-old does.
God. what nonsense.
He's got such good genes. And I'm like, well, lucky for you, he like wasn't at basketball practice or something, and he was in the first place that you checked, I guess. Because like, if he wasn't here, the biggest problem it sucks here. For you.
Yeah, and we're going to find out this is part of, like, you know, a project of we have to get the good genes so when we repopulate or whatever after the apocalypse, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. The problem here is, as we've seen proven in history and in front of us at the very moment, billionaires will not hear anything other than they have perfect genes and they have the perfect genes. So they wouldn't be getting another guy. They would just have Elon Musk jack off even more, you know, like he just have like jars of it. And that would be the biological project he would do. So this is just a whole stupid thing. And I'll be real. Mm. Both of the kidnapped teens, it feels like a CW show, derogatory, like whenever they're on screen.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not great.
Yeah. I won't spoil it, but it also won't ever have like a good payoff that you'll be happy about. You won't feel like you enjoyed that they were on the screen for the show ever.
They don't get better. Yeah
they don't get better or more interesting. It does actually feel a little bit like a different show, like Ty just said, like a CW show, because they're A, neither played by a legacy cast member, and B, like, for better or worse, they're trying to act in a way that the other actors in American Horror Story don't a lot of the time. A lot of the time, the American Horror Story actors are like, yeah, I'm in American Horror Story. I
want to do
American...
a British accent this season.
Yeah. Like, who fucking cares? Like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. I'm Sarah Paulson. I'm going to be whoever the fuck I want.
I'm going to X-Men next week, so I'm doing an old-timey voice this season. Yeah. Got it? All right. No,
and like, they're like, but your character's from 2025.
Right. Also, they both are like very normal people as far as like what they are relative to everyone else, because like most of the cast we know are a set of caricatures, right? Like,
yeah,
we have the caricature of the billionaire influencer, the caricature of the very over the top hairstylist, we have the ludicrously rich and out of touch wind up mom Liza Minnelli character or whatever, like it's caricatures. The extremely mousy assistant who actually does everything but is, you know, constantly being taken advantage of, etc., etc., etc. Like, it's all of these very strong caricatures. And then the QB, John Smith from high school, like, and that's who he is.
And
like,
Emily.
He's just normal. Yeah.
Timothy and Emily,
whose defining characteristics are is a woman, has genes.
Yeah,
right.
Old Timmy and Emmy is what they call them, and that's who they are. When the people in the suit show up to Timothy's house, they're like, they like talk to his dad, and they're like, "This is the only way your son will survive." And his dad's like, "Yeah, okay, you can have him. I believe you."
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds good. You can have him. And they put him in a Hummer and they take him somewhere, and then they put him in somewhere underground, allegedly, that is not the bunker. I cannot express enough that it's not the bunker, but it's somewhere that's safe enough to survive the blast. So I'm like, well, there's obviously places that aren't the bunker that are like okay.
Could we not have also used this as a bunker?
Yeah.
But apparently we couldn't have, so
sure. He's in like a weird stairwell cage. And like he's like, "I have rights. You have to tell me where I am." And the guy who's like ushering him is like, "No, you don't." And I'm like, "Okay, well, what are we doing here? What's going on?"
That line legitimately made me laugh. It was just like, "I have rights," and he's like, "No, you don't, man. Like, a nuke just went off. Are you fucking stupid?" Like,
well, my thing is like, why does it matter if he knows where he is? Like, it's not like he's gonna go back outside and it's gonna be fine. LA is gonna be leveled, so like, it doesn't matter if he knows where he is. There's nothing outside, so it doesn't matter.
I know.
Where he is doesn't exist anymore. But yeah, and
I'm gonna get yelled at by, oh wait, no one. There's no boss anymore, really.
By nobody. Yeah, and like, he's in a stairwell that's also a cage, and above him in the next level of the stairwell is a girl, and then her name is Emily, allegedly, and he's like, "Did you also get grabbed by the Men in Black people?" And she's like, "I don't know, I was asleep in jail, ?"
Yeah, she was protesting.
Yeah, she was protesting on campus and got arrested, and then was sleeping in jail, a thing that you probably wouldn't want to do. But she was, and they got her from jail.
You probably couldn't. I mean, I don't have a lot of jail experience, but I have trouble sleeping in, like, hotels sometimes, you know? Like, I don't think...
Being in a holding center is pretty fucking stressful, yeah. It's not, like, a thing you get to, you, like, really relax during, in my experience.
Well, when you said
least,
you probably
like,
couldn't, I thought you were talking about, like, the people retrieving her, and I'm like, you're right, Slow Beef. The jail wouldn't just let random people in suits be like, we gotta take that girl, she's got good genes. Like, they probably don't care about that and probably would not release her from the jail cell to be taken away.
Right.
And then, like...
I do like the idea, though, of her, like, at a protest, going all out, leading chants and that stuff. And then she gets arrested, and as soon as they, like, close the door on herself, she's just like, yeah, I guess I'm tired now.
Yeah, I'm eepy.
Adrenaline, never heard of it. I'm going to bed.
I'm eepy.
See you later.
Yeah.
I need you all to be quiet. I'm trying to sleep in this jail. Jesus.
Hey, prison, shut up.
Yeah, everybody give me some peace and quiet. Yeah, and, like, he's like, so did they grab you because, like, what for the same reason they grabbed me? And she's like, I don't know, I was asleep. And then he's like, they got your DNA off of the doctor or something. Well, and I'm like, she didn't ask. Like, she didn't ask, like, for you to theory craft as to why she got grabbed, you weirdo. And then the facility start wherever the fuck they are, starts shaking. And then Timothy starts having a panic attack. And Emily just lays face down on the ground, which, like, fair, I guess. Like, what else are you going to do? Who cares?
I mean, also, how often do you have, like, a permeable barrier underneath you so you can, like, full-on face flat against the ground and still breathe? Like, you know, I'm not in a suspended cage that often. Might as well take advantage of the situation.
She's just planking. She's just bringing back planking before it's too late.
Hell yeah. Finally, the final plank.
Yeah. So that's, like, roughly 5 minutes of the episode? 10 minutes of the episode, maybe? Yeah.
It's most of what happens, though.
Yeah.
No, it's not true. But, yeah.
It frankly is. we have so much to get into in the second half that's, like, for all intents and purposes, the meat and potatoes of this episode. That was...
But they take a lot of time with the setup and the framing and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think it's good that we got, like, engaging with it out of the way now. A, so we can, you know, reference back later and be like, hey, remember when this show was allegedly about, you know, whatever?
Right.
And then also, because I have a feeling they are never going to engage with this framework ever again. So, like, yeah. This is our last chance, probably.
That's
yeah.
Right.
So you guys have a lot to look forward to. Maybe not, like, in a positive way, but, like, you do have to look forward to it. Like, not like,
I think,
not like you're allowed to, like, we're forcing you to.
I think there's one thing we can say about this season is that it's a lot, you know? Like, this is a big season in a way, you know? But we'll get there one way or another.
For better or worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope everyone is excited to learn what their designated color is, because there's a color grading system we're about to be forced to engage with, and it's very serious. Stop laughing! It's not funny when I say you're purple. Well, anyway, till next time, folks. Thanks for listening. Hope to catch you around. Peace.
Bye. Bye.